Gray day out there. Holy moly.
Yes, it is. And can I just throw this out? If your wipers are on, your lights must be on.
Yeah, you're always...
That's a state law.
This is maybe a generational thing. It's not a checklist thing for me of do I need to turn my lights on or not, because it's just once it's dark, it turns on. So I am totally guilty of that.
Because this is who I am. I saw a truck this morning, I called. I did. And I just said, look, you know, he's not driving recklessly or anything, but I just want you to know, and maybe you should tell all your drivers that it is a state law that if your wipers are on, your lights must be on, because when it's raining, it's hard to see you.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
I am Kristen Bry. Welcome to the noon hour. Thank you for spending your lunch hour with us. Hopefully you are not on the road as we prepare for another epic storm, apparently, that is headed across the state of Wisconsin. Jane Metnair, still doing well. Greg Bach is losing it.
I know. I'm not quite exactly sure why, Mr. Bach. What?
Explain yourself.
What is so hilarious?
That was the oldest thing I've ever heard. I told on that trucker and told him to turn his lights on.
And I'll call on anyone.
Oh my God, that was so funny. Oh my God, that was so good. I loved every minute of that. Thing is, my headlights are always on, so I don't have to worry about.
And that's what Kristen has said too.
Yeah. I think it's like they're automatic now.
Yeah, nowadays they're and even like with my wife's car and my mother-in-law's car, when it's dark out, it like turns the lights
like the headlights,
like the super light, not bright, but just like that middle section, like level two. I just love it. Jane, did you like pull over in your car
so that you could call?
Oh, of course.
Okay, because that's a responsible person. Also, I just wanted to say one of the reasons why I was giggling too is those things when we went to break in the last segment, folks. If you weren't, you could see if you're watching. Kristen wasn't just lip syncing, Let It Go. She was whispering it. She was like, let it go, let it go. And like the and trying to put all that weird joy onto me, and I was not having it.
Because you've never even seen Frozen.
I've seen Frozen Junior perform.
What does that mean?
St. Joseph's Middle or St. Joseph's High School. My nephew was in it, and he played
Olaf.
He didn't play Olaf. He played the ice guy. Like he sold ice. He wasn't the prince.
Yeah.
He wasn't. Jane's got it.
Yeah, I know. I can't think of the character's name, but I know who you're talking.
I think
about.
It starts with an H or something. Whatever.
Was it good?
It was very good. It was very. Oh my gosh, the woman who played She was a young woman,
a teenager,
a lady.
Get to that later.
Elsa, is that the main person who sings that song?
Well, it depends on who you ask. I just saw a really funny sketch with Kristen Bell, who plays Anna, who's the sister, who doesn't have magical powers.
Correct.
And it's her. I mean, it's obviously. It's a sketch, but she is complaining about how Elsa gets one good song, but the movie's clearly about Anna. And like, even though she's clearly the main character, she has the love story. And just because of one epic song, now every kid wants to be Elsa.
What happened to me? Yeah. What happened to me?
Elsa's the one who sings the song that I was so dramatically lip syncing.
The young woman who sang it was like amazing.
It's a tough song.
Isn't it wild when you think about teenagers who get the leads in school musicals who can just sing the lights out, and you're like, can you sing the lights out
on stage? Yeah, I can.
You can sing?
Yeah.
I've never heard you sing.
I was Nathan Detroit in Guys and Dolls.
Excellent.
I was Moonface Martin in Anything Goes.
How did we never talk about this?
Because when it comes to musicals, you kind of dominate the show, lady.
Well, now we have a three-person show to do.
Now we have a three-person play to do. Or musical. I don't think we should really venture into musicals because we've already established, as much as I would like to be able to sing,
I
cannot.
Well, just, but you're an excellent lip syncer, so we'll have you do that.
That's true.
I want to share some traffic information as we get reorganized here. U.S. 12, 14, 80... 18 and 151 West at Fish Hatchery Road. This is in Madison. Mm-hmm. There's debris in the right lane, and the right lane there is blocked. And again, around, this is north of Winona. Southbound Wisconsin 35 is completely closed beyond 385th Street because of a crash. So we have slippery stuff all over the place. A number of accidents around Milwaukee and Racine most of them are out of the way, so that's good. But again, you really want to be careful today.
Please be careful.
Yeah.
And no looky-loo. Just keep driving.
Oh, yeah, don't.
Yeah, don't be the gawker.
Yeah.
The rubberneckers?
Rubberneckers.
Rubberneckers. All right. So, as we, as a country, are also paying attention to what's happened in East Palestine, where there was a train derailment on February 3rd, yesterday, the EPA ordered rail company Norfolk Southern to clean up the contamination from the East Palestine, Ohio train wreck. And the move comes more than 2 weeks after. Obviously, the crews carried out a controlled burn, which the more I'm reading about it, was not the advised thing to do, apparently. But I don't consider myself someone who is an expert when it comes to poisonous materials and what you do with them if they spill into open land. But what's known, this comes under what's commonly known as the Superfund law, and the EPA directed Norfolk Southern to follow an approved remediation plan, which includes attending public meetings, which as of last week they had not attended yet.
Because right. It's dangerous.
I know. Sharing information publicly and paying for cleaning services offered to residents and businesses. If Norfolk Southern fails to comply, the EPA warned it would perform the work itself and seek triple damages. So about 8.3 million pounds of contaminated soil and 1.1 million gallons of contaminated water have already been removed. And so I think, I mean, and I would say it is, Pete Buttigieg, I think, is finally going or has gone, but Biden still hasn't been there.
No, he hasn't.
And the Republicans love to lose their mind on Twitter over it every single day he doesn't.
Well, and let's not forget that Governor Mike DeWine of Ohio said they didn't need FEMA initially.
Yeah.
He said, we don't need the federal government. President Biden called, and I said, that's okay. Yeah, nope, we don't need it.
But it's also, I mean, it's also not a natural disaster.
No, it's not.
This is not a hurricane.
Right.
This is not a tornado. This is not something that, while we can, for a lot of those things, sometimes argue, well, this is because of climate change, it is something that was a specific company's fault.
Yeah.
And there's two different politicians. I mean, there's plenty of politicians who are trying to somehow blame this on Democrats, despite the fact that basically all government control in Ohio are Republicans.
And don't forget that safety regulations addressing the issue of safety on trains that was passed by Obama was reversed by Trump.
Mm-hmm.
So that's actually a very interesting, I came across a very interesting Twitter thread last night. And apparently Trump is visiting East Palestine today. Maybe he's already there, but he is going to attempt to portray himself as a friend of the town and as someone who would have stood up to Norfolk Southern had he just had the chance.
Well, he's still the president, right?
But this is a thread from More Perfect Union, which is a media outlet that says they are for working people. And they decided to go through and remind people the history of this company with Republicans over the last handful of years.
Oh, this will be fascinating.
So first, railroad companies gave $6.5 million to Republicans in the 2016 election, the most they've ever given to any party and over 60% of their contributions that year. Norfolk Southern specifically gave over $500,000 to Republican candidates. Then, when Trump was in office, they spent over $1.5 million on lobbying every year to block a new law that would have required at least two rail workers on every train. Workers say this is vital to and for their and our safety.
Yes.
Clearly. All right. So then, railroad money heavily influenced the Trump administration. Under Trump, the Department of Transportation withdrew multiple rail safety recommendations and moved towards a, quote, self-regulatory approach where rail companies could do as they pleased. But that's not all. This is all the same thread. Receipts, baby. The Trump administration also repealed an Obama-era rule that would have forced rail companies to upgrade the brake systems on trains carrying hazardous materials. And the Trump administration even rescinded a rule that would have helped address fatigue among train operators. So it's no surprise that the Trump years were filled with dangerous deregulation. His head of the Freight and Rail Administration was a former rail CEO. It's a prime example of the revolving door between business and government. And yet, there he is.
Going to take his vows.
I'm here for you, people, despite all the money I took to not be here for you.
Well, and of course, that's not going to be mentioned at all. It's just, I'm here and here is my old list of grievances while I have you all here.
But
this whole train was derailed, just like that 2020 election was derailed. I'm still president. Vote for me. I keep on seeing every day I see a tweet from Josh Hawley, raise fist in the air, January 6th guy.
Oh, the runaway, scurrying away.
Scurrying Hawley, who always is like, day number blah, 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 and Joe Biden has not visited East Palestine yet. It's like, yeah, he doesn't need to.
He was in Ukraine this week and stuff, and it's the competition for priorities, but I do think he should go.
Sure, but...
But I also think Trump saying that he should go is a joke.
Well, and I would like to see someone haul out that list of receipts that you just read through while he's there.
I know. Maybe our friend John Russell will. Wouldn't that be something?
Print all of those tweets onto boards and just walk around him like that.
But he's not the only one trying to paint himself in a good light off of this tragedy. Our senior senator, Ron Johnson... We will talk about it when we come back, because he took the opportunity to send out some fundraising emails because he's had so much to do with what's happening in Ohio and really wants you to help him with the fight, the ongoing fight. So donate now. We'll talk about that and the New Republic article that was great when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Just another con.
Fairy tale to lead them on.
But together, baby, maybe we could love them all. Let's take this sleeping town by storm. And when the sheep have all been shorn, we'll be gone just like the gentle breeze of yesterday. With your skills and my good looks, those fish will be begging for the hook, reeled in by our seductive serenade. Let's take this sleeping town by storm.
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
All my babies coming home tomorrow. Ain't that good news? Man, ain't that news? Babies coming home.
Welcome
tomorrow.
Back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. Greg Bach is here because it is Wednesday. And we are discussing, previously, we gave an update on East Palestine and the EPA saying that Norfolk.
You say Norfolk, you could also say a word that sounds like a swear.
I know, but it's not really.
It's not a swear.
Jane's like, please don't. Norfolk Southern is responsible for cleaning up the mess that they created. And we reference that former President Trump, it sounds like, is going to Ohio today for campaign purposes to try to, be a friend of the town, despite all of the deregulation that he did during his administration that could have prevented this kind of accident.
That led to this. And a texter checking in, by the way, from the 414 at 844-967-2789. So I know you can't say this on the air, Jane, because you're a professional, but perhaps you can make my thoughts FCC compliant. Donald Trump is a beep.
Well said.
Do you want to spell it?
It starts with an A and it ends with an E.
Oh, okay. I think I know which one that is.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Appreciate that.
He's an apple. Oh, he's an apple.
He's an apple.
He's an apple. He's an apple. Okay, cool. Go, cool.
All right. Well, another apple I want to talk about is, you know, sometimes it's funny because now that he's been reelected for another 6 years, it's just the exhaustion of, are we just going to complain about every time he does something that is highly obnoxious, but yet we can't do anything about it? Because, I mean, at this point, there's no reason that he wouldn't run for a fourth term 6 years from now, right?
Well, the only reason why he ran last time was because of COVID disability. That's the only reason why he ran.
I mean, which was missing from all of his campaign ads, yeah, but apparently yeah.
Never
the injured,
mentioned that.
The vaccine injured.
The vaccine.
There's so many of them.
You know, in 6 years, though, won't one of his kids be ready to run for office? He's got
what
three,
do you think his kids are like?
He's got three adult children. They all work for the company. I would think that, you know, that'd be a nice slide right into daddy's old job.
Because one of my most more, I'd say, controversial videos I've made in the last year was when I just posted a screenshot of the fact that Ron Johnson, wrote into his will for his kids that if they have a child out of wedlock, they don't get their trust fund.
I thought it was you can have one.
Or maybe you can have one.
But if you do
can
two,
have one.
But if you have
but
two,
if you do two,
then you're out.
You're done.
And it's just like I whenever I hear things like that from very wealthy families and like the conditions that are put on children to get the money that they, you know, it's like Succession, right? It's just like that show, which I can't wait for it to come back. I love that show. But you know, you don't like anyone. You don't like any of those characters because all those children and their entitlement and what they're willing to do to get the money that they think they're owed because of, and I mean, with Ron Johnson, he bought the company from his in-laws, right? Like, it's not necessarily that, it's arguable that he built his wealth himself, but regardless. So anyways, this is all to say that I wanted to let you know, I am not on Ron Johnson's email list. Probably should be.
Oh, that might be fun.
That might be fun.
Just follow. I see him on Twitter. I feel like it's. Ugh.
So, this is from the New Republic, and I love just the start of it.
It's great.
Infamous tax evading trust fund benefactor and Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson is fundraising off of the Ohio train derailment, a disaster he has played no role in helping to prevent and no role in helping to address. Strong start.
I just want to write the first paragraph for them. I just love that. It's so fun.
So on Monday, Johnson sent out an email from his Senate campaign with the subject line, "Have you noticed the silence around the train derailment too?" And then you open it and it says, "I fear we barely know the impact this disaster has caused. Nearby wildlife are dropping dead. Fish are drying up and drown the Ohio River. And this is probably just the beginning," Johnson's email read. "We need answers, and we need them now. But the media is barely covering this."
What?
Yeah, that's
what? Wait.
Yeah.
And, of course, the article says, we've been covering this, and the news is covering this. Now, there's the angle they're taking, how much they're talking about why this happened versus what's going to happen and who's showing up and whatever. But this is getting media attention, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so I love that they also point out that there's a button in the email that encourages users to share their thoughts on why the media isn't covering the story and fill out their contact information, presumably to build up Johnson's newsletter list.
I totally want to hit that button and give him my thoughts.
I bet you do.
I do. I have many.
So, despite his best efforts to pretend, the Wisconsin senator does not have a history of exhibiting any actual pro-worker, pro-rail safety concerns. In 2022 alone, Johnson received $7,500 from Norfolk Southern, the rail company responsible for the disaster. He also is famous for evading millions in federal taxes, buying his Senate seat with even more millions bought from a company he inherited from his wife's brother, and using his position to get $215 million in tax deductions for his two biggest campaign donors.
I am doing everything wrong in life. Look at him just making his money and being weird.
So then this is how it ends. And as if Johnson's shameless impersonation of someone who actually cares about rail safety wasn't enough, he concluded the email by asking for the reader to help pay off his campaign debts.
Quote, wow.
"I hate to ask this, but will you help me finally see this campaign through to the end so I can double down on our conservative efforts in the Senate?"
He doesn't have any money to pay his own bills?
What debt does he have?
What is this?
It's not on. I mean, that. To be fair, it's not unusual for candidates to run emails after elections to help pay down Hillary Clinton through fundraising. It's not unusual.
Okay.
They campaigns run debts. They have to raise money afterwards to pay off. It's what he's doing is not crazy, and he can't just pull money out of his pocket and pay it off either. There are regulations towards that. But
look at you defending Ron Johnson.
I'm defending the process that I think is tainted and awful. But at the end of the day, though, like, he is terrible.
Good roundup. Yeah. All right. When we come back, Dan Schaefer will be here. We will talk about the Brewers Stadium. Should we fund it? Should we not fund it? Let's talk about it. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
My baby's coming home tomorrow. Ain't that good news? Man, ain't that news? Good news. Good news.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is here because it's Wednesday. And Jane Matinair, what kind of weather and road update do we have?
Well, again, most of Wisconsin, pretty much the entire Midwest, is under a winter storm warning until noon until tomorrow. And now we have accidents pretty much popping up all over the state. We have that full closure near Red Wing, southbound Wisconsin 35, completely closed beyond 385th because of a crash. Now we have a couple crashes around Toma. I see them in Portage, Fond du Lac, Highway 41, Milwaukee, Janesville now. Most of these are off on the shoulders, but this is just indicative, you guys, of what a mess it is out there. So watch your speeds, turn on your lights. If you don't have to go out, just stay home and be comfy and snuggly and turn on the fire and pet your dog.
At the commercial break, Greg and I just decided I'm going to make chili tonight.
Oh, good chili night.
That feels like some comfort food on a wintry day. All right. Well, changing gears a little bit, Governor Tony Evers is proposing a plan that would provide $290 million for upgrades at American Family Field, RIP, Miller Park, over roughly 20 years. And in return, the Brewers would have to extend their lease that was supposed to end, is currently going to end in 2030, and it would then instead end in 2043. And here to talk about it is our good friend, Mr. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. Welcome back, Mr. Dan Schaefer. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
We're great. We're just rolling through today, having a good time. Greg Bach is here.
Hi.
Greg Bach has opinions on this, so I think Let's get the setup of the details of what this looks like, because we're all sports fans, you know. Dan has his Bucks gear on. You don't really care about the Bucks as much, Greg, but you do like the Brewers.
I think basketball is one of the most punishing, boring sports on earth.
Well, that we're just gonna ignore that you said that.
All right, I'm out of here.
But so tell us more about the details of this scenario, Dan Schaefer.
So last week, Evers puts the, was it only last week?
It was only last week.
40 years ago.
So last week, Evers puts this proposal out in advance of his budget address, saying he wants to commit $290 million of the state's record $7 billion surplus to go towards American Family Field for maintenance and upgrades at the stadium. And there's a little bit more to it beyond just this one-time investment that Evers proposed. So I reported at the Recombobulation Area last week that the governor's budget proposal also includes a property tax exemption for baseball park development that would apply not only to the stadium itself, but any, and I'll quote here, retail facilities, hospitality facilities, commercial and residential facilities, healthcare facilities, and any other functionally related or auxiliary facilities or structures. So that is, I was looking to find a little bit more details about this proposal because, you know, it was a pretty simple thing that Evers was proposing, wanted to find some more details, found out about this property tax exemption. So it's a pretty interesting deal. And I think, you know, there was a lot of discussion last year after we published a piece at the Recombobulation Area about a potential beer district mm-hmm. around American Family Field. And I think this property tax exemption could really complicate any further plans for redevelopment around American Family Field, especially as far as the city is concerned, because the city often uses these tax incremental financing districts to get certain development projects going. We're seeing that right now with the recent proposal that Northwestern Mutual had. But a TIF requires future property taxes to borrow against to get these developments going. Yeah. And if these property taxes are exempted essentially forever, then it would really hamstring the city and any plans that they might have for development around there.
Because obviously, as the Bucks do, as the Brewers do, as the Packers do, they all have lobbyists, right? Like, they all have people who mm-hmm. their job is to go advocate for the business owners of these sports franchises. And so what is the benefit of putting that clause in for either side? For why would Evers put that in? That specific thing, the property tax exemption, and why would, is it that the Brewers really just don't like the idea of that, like a beer district?
It remains to be seen. They've been pretty tight-lipped about these conversations about a beer district, about the stadium freeway. There's a whole bunch of stuff that is kind of tied into development around the baseball park on the west side of Milwaukee right now. And so, unclear why exactly they would want this other than the fact that it would save them money forever.
Forever. So, you know, I think there is pretty, and I know you've in the past written about when there was, funding for Fiserv and conversations then were had as far as once the Bucks won a championship and the prosperity it may or may not have brought to the city. And so there's this like push and pull of, we are a big sports state, right? For a state of less than 6 million people to have three, you know, good to above, you know, above average to very good, consistent teams, at least recently, across the NBA, NFL and MLB, you know, like we are a sports state, like we love our sports. And so, and we are sports fans as us talking about this right now, maybe not Jane, but the impact on what else $290 million could pay for. As we earlier this week had Sherry Tussler on from Hunger Task Force, and she reminded us of the amount of people who are about to be to lose their extra food share benefits and how much of a strain this is going to put on food banks, because there's about a lot of people who are about to go hungry. And so sometimes I think wrapping your head around, like, how are we justifying this, is a tough one. And so, Greg, I'll let you start, because I know you've been sitting there quietly because you have feelings on this.
Stewing. Let it be known that I am a huge Brewers fan.
Yes, you are.
I love the Brewers. I want them to do well, but I feel like this smacks of when the Bucks did it. This smacks of when they did it back in 95 when they taxed five counties. And it's a very simple, not very original idea. You've got an owner. You've got a team who has owners who can pay for this themselves. And this is, as in the article that Dan put out, it is $290 million of a $400 million upgrade they need to do. And the question I have is, if you've ever been near AmFam, what could they actually do to make it a quote-unquote beer district? Because right next to it, you have a giant cemetery. Mm-hmm. Behind it, unless they want to knock all that stuff down behind there and like rebuild that area, I just don't know how they're going to improve it the way they want to, how they did it downtown. Because the downtown, it seemed a little more open, if you will. And there was more opportunity. I feel like, I don't want to say that it's not landlocked, but it just feels like it's – the stadium is not in the best place for development around it, because if you go south on the freeway past the stadium, it's already developing grocery stores, restaurants, all those things. So why do we need to give $290 million, over a quarter of $1 billion to a bunch of rich people, and also use that thing of if they don't do it, they're going to leave. They're going to leave. They will leave. Okay. I'll call your bluff. They won't leave.
Well, and I don't know enough about how these people think that. We're talking to, our guest is Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, and we're talking about the proposal to fund with state tax dollars the upgrades for the Brewers Stadium in exchange for them basically staying until 2043. And so, Dan, as you've been looking at this, I mean, do you have any response to what Greg said?
Well, I think one thing about the development to reference here is the fact that the parking situation around American Family Field is they have more parking lots than they need. Right?
It's generous. Like
it's generous. The total in the piece that we published last year, and I referenced this again in my report last week, the collection of parking lots outside the stadium includes more total parking spaces than that of Disney World's Magic Kingdom in Orlando, Florida.
Never heard of it. What?
One of the largest parking lots in the world.
Yeah.
So we have one of the largest parking lots in the world outside of American Family Field. You know,
why isn't that on the stadium?
I don't think anybody wants to disrupt the tailgate culture that is such an essential part of the Brewers' experience there. But when you get east of my favorite stretch of highway, 175, there are some opportunities there that they could reimagine a little bit differently. And I think if you think of that, there's the plant for Komatsu that is now dormant, that is now empty. They don't have plans for what's going to replace it. That also, you know, kind of runs into a couple of the Yount and the Euchre lot that are east of the Menominee River. How about we develop like something, I don't know, say a year-round beer garden on the Menominee River by developing that spot instead of having two giant parking lots there.
That's where I park when I go to the games. It's true. I always
park. This would disrupt you.
I park in Yount every time. But I get that. I guess to me, like the development of this overall, like that seems like not a ton of development opportunity as compared to downtown, if you will.
Downtown, no.
Yeah. So
But
once again, it comes down to the idea of like, why are we spending $290 million out of a $7 billion surplus, which could go to other things for a team that, one, has very rich owners, and two, I don't know, play better. I'm sorry. That's the fan part of me. We do not have a plan as a team to say like, here's where we're gonna go. The Bucks had it.
Yeah,
they were like, we've got these great players. We're gonna build to compete, and they did.
We're gonna spend
money
to win.
Yes, and this is not what's happening with this team now. In fact, if anything, they're going the opposite direction, and I don't understand how. It befuddles me.
And Dan, I am befuddled, kind of along with Greg's point, why we have to keep paying rich people to do things that they should be doing on their own. Isn't Mark Attanasio worth like $700 million? So you kick in $50 million, Mark. That's what, a month for paying off all your mortgages? And you get a couple of other of your friends to kick in another $50 million, and you all get a special plaque, and you can all pat each other on the back. What a good job you did. We have just become so used to this, as Greg said, hostage-taking. Mm-hmm. And I'm sick of it, and it makes me mad.
Well, and I think it's important to also consider the fact that the stadium tax, the five-county stadium tax, ended up bringing more than $600 million taxpayer dollars to fund the stadium over 20-plus years. And so when Governor Evers signed the bill in 2019 to sunset the tax in 2020, I think that was like, okay, we're finally going to move on from this. We've been paying for the stadium for so long. We have other needs in Milwaukee County that are more pressing, in the five-county region that are more pressing. Let's start funding those. And then they come back 3 years later saying, hey, we're broke. We need money again.
Yeah.
Like, and the fact that the reporting last year from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel suggested that they would need something in the range of $100 million. This is coming in closer to $300 million. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, what the Bucks Arena deal got right, and I, as you mentioned earlier, I covered that deal quite a bit back in a past life at Milwaukee Magazine. That deal was structured to have larger catalytic impact for downtown. It wasn't just for building the arena and getting out. Like, it was for transforming a part of the city that needed transformation. This deal just kind of says we're going to upgrade the scoreboard and the bathrooms and like.
And I would say we have to go to break, but yeah. I would say, and I, as someone who appreciates the Deer District, I think it did do that. And so let's keep, we're going to keep talking about this after break. Greg Bach is here. Jane Matinere is here. Dan Schaefer is here. We're talking about the Brewers Stadium. If you have thoughts on this, feel free to give us a call or a text, 844-967-2789. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. Jane Matinere with what song was that?
That's from the Damn Yankees.
Watch your mouth.
You Gotta Have Heart.
The Ted Nugent Band?
You Gotta Have Heart. It's about baseball.
It's about baseball. Come on,
it's about
catch up.
The Yankees.
Jane's ahead of the ball.
I was making a Ted Nugent joke.
Greg Bach is here. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area is also here, and we are talking about the proposal for $290 million plus a property tax exemption for the Brewers. And I guess we ended the last segment on the comparison to the Bucks. And I also think there's something here as far as the private report, you know, the private entities that fund reports to show what economic impact doing this can be. But as always, you look at who authors those reports with a healthy skepticism.
Who authored this? The Bucks.
Yes. And so it's like, despite being sports fans, and not Greg, but at least Dan and I were very excited when the Bucks won the championship in 2021, that, you know, then you're like, oh, well, like it felt like it was worth it, even if it's just emotionally.
Yeah.
But is it? And so do you, Dan, feel like this is a very different type of deal than the Fiserv and what the Bucks owners got?
Yeah, so I covered a lot of that Bucks Arena deal, and there were so many conversations that we were having as a community in Milwaukee. You know, the MMAC was having all of these panels and discussions and all these different things talking about how a Bucks Arena deal could be structured, what other cities were doing, what the best way to do this is, how to leverage these opportunities to really maximize the investment for some sort of public funding. And then this one is just kind of dropped in and say, yeah, we have this surplus. We can keep the Brewers around with this money, and then let's go. So I think, you know, it's such a different conversation because we had so much lead up to it with the Bucks conversation, and with the Brewers now, it just seems like they want to, you know, fund kind of the same thing. And I think part of the reason that the Bucks Arena deal, I think, has worked is because we had those difficult conversations. We structured the deal in a way that really maximized the impact for something like the Deer District, for something like for the surrounding area in downtown Milwaukee, investing in the Park East, investing in these plots of the city that were just kind of ghost towns, even when the Bucks were there, when the Bucks were bad, back in the pre-Giannis years.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think, you know, we had this conversation and we're just not having it the same way now. And I think that's unfortunate. And I think that if we are going to have, you know, a conversation about publicly financing upgrades at the park, we should be doing it with the larger goal of making some changes to the surrounding area. You know, having something that invests in more than just the 82 nights a year, 81 nights a year that the Brewers are playing there.
And what's interesting is this was one of the few things where it seems like there is bipartisan support. I mean, it sounds like at least the initial reporting was that Republican leaders were not super thrilled with Evers just dropping this and having not being part of the conversation. But at least on a interview on WTMJ, Devin Lemieux made it sound like keeping the Brewers is vital. And so who is advocating for those hard conversations that did happen with the Bucks of like who could be a roadblock to make sure that there is it's a better deal for Milwaukee, for the state, and not just like, here you go. Is there anyone?
I don't know if he'd just get bowled over by it, but Mayor Johnson, maybe. If he stood up and said, we need a bigger conversation about this. But when it comes to sports teams, they generally don't. They're like, we got to keep this team. And the question I have, and it might be, I mean, I'm sure it'll be built into the contract of the monies being given to the team, is if we give them $290 million, and as Dan's report said, it's a $400 million project, what keeps them from going, we need more money? Mm-hmm. You know, we'd have to have, you know, sorry, this is not enough. And if you don't, like, I don't know if we can do this. You know what I mean? Like, and we can't demand championships. We can't demand good playing. But it just seems like I said in the last segment, the way they're treating the team right now, it doesn't seem like he even cares about whether he owns the team, whether he cares if the team is in Milwaukee. It just seems like we're going to be playing mediocre baseball, and that's fine by the Brewers, the way we've been doing our business with trades and whatnot.
Well, it's Corbin Burns' fault.
Absolutely. Corbin Burns and Josh Hader, those two guys, they just ruined our team. They just ruined our team.
All right. Well, any closing thoughts, Dan?
A point on what you said there, too. I think it's the bipartisan nature of this is interesting, because if you look back at the Bucks deal, it was a Scott Walker proposal for the deal, but not all of the Republicans were on board to fund the Bucks arena. So they needed to get some Democratic support, needed to get some support from, state representatives in Milwaukee. You had Mandela Barnes and Scott Walker on the same side of an issue, when the Bucks arena deal was coming together, which is weird to say now. So I think, you know, maybe if this is part of the budget, if this ends up as a standalone deal, I think that's going to create some interesting political bedfellows as well.
Absolutely. All right. Well, as usual, lovely to have you here, Dan. Always love your insight and your reporting. Subscribe to the Recombobulation Area.
It's such a deal.
It's only $5 a month. Or gift it to someone else. I should probably do that. I'm a subscriber. But yeah.
50 for the year. You can gift a subscription. You can get a group subscription. Lots of ways.
It's like a Spotify family deal. All right. Thank you so much, Dan. We'll talk to you soon. Before we go and wrap up the hour, Jane, how are the roads looking?
Yeah, the roads are terrible all over this state.
Terrible.
They really are. And northbound 41 now at Highway 20, we have the three left lanes are closed because of a crash. Northbound 41 and Highway 20, the three left lanes there are closed because of a crash. They expect that to take at least an hour to clear out. And as I look at this 511wi.gov map, now we're up to like 14 scattered incidents around the state. So it's continuing to get worse. Conditions continue to worsen. So please stay off the roads.
Or just pay attention, go slow. Have your lights on.
There you go.
All right. We will be back after the top of the hour news. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Ho, ho, ho. Cause we know our ship will come in. So it's 10 years overdue. Ho, ho, ho. We've got heart. Miles and miles and miles of heart. Oh, it's fine to be a genius, of course. Keep that old horse before the car.
So what the heck's the use of crying?
Why should we curse?
We gotta get better, cause we can't get worse.
And to add to it, we've got heart. We've got heart. We've got heart. We've got heart. Of course, but keep that old horse before the car.
Who minds them pop bottles flying?
The hisses and boo.
Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.